Good morning. It's nice to be with you this morning. It is very unusual for me this morning as we are in lockdown here in Newcastle. The lockdown started on Friday and of course goes over till the next Friday. So I'm actually preaching to an empty church. It actually reminds me that when the rapture of the church takes place, there will be empty churches around this country, because believers will be taken home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about that this morning, and so I've chosen a reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and from verse 51, the Bible says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." And we just pray, or I pray this morning, that the Lord would speak to us through his word, that his Holy Spirit would be active in our lives as the word is taught. Well, the title of my message this morning is Gone. Gone. And my subtitle is 1 minute after the rapture. I have another reading and it's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about when God is going to remove his people from this earth before a period called the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13, Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul reveals the great hope of the rapture for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day our world is going to experience a terrible time called the tribulation period, and God is going to remove his people from this earth instantaneously, and that is called the rapture of the church. Very soon, born-again Christians may be gone from the earth. Jesus also described this event to his disciples in John chapter 14. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Our world is heading for destruction. As I look at the world and as I look at Australia, I'm seeing the hopes and dreams of numbers of people gone. Last week, I saw an interview on TV of a restaurant owner in Melbourne who was so distressed over the Victorian government's lockdowns of that state. He was speaking about the toll of lockdowns on the restaurant industry. Their security is gone. Their finances are gone. Their staff are gone. And maybe even their houses will be gone as they drown in debts that cannot be paid if they cannot open their restaurants. We need some reality, I believe, in Australia at this time. The Australian government has informed us that since COVID has come to our shores, that they believe there's been an excess of 900 deaths. I think at the present moment we're somewhere between 930 to 950 deaths, less than 1,000 in our country. And the government has taken drastic action to prevent the disease from going further. And whilst the government has taken that action, I also believe that we need to look at reality. This country has gone into COVID panic, and yet if you look at the deaths from other causes, those deaths are a real concern to our country. Heart disease in Australia causes over 17,000 deaths per year. Cancer caused death to over 48,000 people in 2020. 20,000 deaths per year are attributed to smoking-related disease. Around 80,000 babies are aborted each year in our country. That is 200 babies murdered every day. Statistics tell us that 140 people die every day from obesity-related diseases in Australia. There is not 1,000 deaths to COVID, and yet our state governments and our federal government is panicking like never before. If things keep going like they are with government lockdowns, then once busy streets in major cities in Australia will be gone to rack and ruin. It is a fact. All around the world, busy city centres will be a shadow of their former selves if governments make the decisions to continue to lock down businesses. I saw on the internet recently a film by a man that was showing beachside suburbs in California. His film was concentrated down in the Los Angeles area, and he showed these million-dollar homes overlooking the sands of the beaches. These homes, numbers of them, had very nice views. But things have changed in beachside California, down in Los Angeles. These multi-million dollar homes now are overlooking, you might say, tent cities. For miles and miles, homeless people have pitched tents in the sand on the beach. And now these multi-million dollar homes look over these tent cities of homeless people. It's a terrible situation. Over 161,000 people were homeless in California before the COVID outbreak in 2020. And now there would be a lot more. San Francisco, that great city of the Golden Gate Bridge, is not at all what it used to be. Once great places, once great tourist destinations, and once great cities, and once great economies could soon be gone all around the world if things keep going as they are. The more I see happening around the world, I am reminded that this world is rapidly heading towards the great tribulation periods, where there'll be broken economies and broken nations and a world full of broken people. In the tribulation, God is going to pour out his anger on a sin-filled world, on an unbelieving world that is ripe for judgment. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, the Bible says, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jesus himself mentioned the tribulation period in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Jesus said, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." I believe that the second coming occurs after the tribulation period. That is the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 29 and following, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." If you read the book of Revelation from chapters 6 to 19, you will get the details of the tribulation period. And as you read those chapters, you won't find that the church is mentioned on earth at all during the tribulation. The church is not here. And when I say the church, I mean every person that has trusted Jesus Christ as Saviour. There are people in churches all over Australia that haven't come to trust Christ as their Saviour. They're hoping that their church attendance or their good works will get them to heaven, or their good life. But they haven't come to the place where they realise that they are desperate sinners in need of a Saviour. And there's only one Saviour, and that is Jesus Christ. The Bible indicates that the church will not go through the tribulation. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." When you read Revelation, there's a letter to the church at Philadelphia. And Jesus gave a promise to that church that they would be kept from the trial that was going to come upon the whole earth. Revelation 3 verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." The church, I believe, will be kept from the tribulation. But you don't want to be on earth during the tribulation period. If you're not a believer, that's what you're heading towards. You're heading towards this time of trouble like the world has never seen, and you don't want to be here for it. Fortunately, I believe that the rapture will occur before the tribulation. What is the rapture? Well, the rapture is a miraculous removal of God's people from this earth. There's going to be a global disappearance where God's people are going to be called home to the Father's house. You know, I believe that there's not one problem of mine that won't be fixed by the rapture. When a Christian is called up to heaven in the rapture, every problem will be solved. There'll be no more financial problems. There'll be no more physical problems. There'll be no more relational problems. There'll be no more spiritual problems. The great thing about the rapture is that every born-again believer will be caught up into heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." When will the rapture take place? Well, we don't know the exact date of the rapture. I believe we are now living towards the end of the church age. And the church age is described in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And if you read those chapters, they were individual letters written in John's day to seven churches of Asia Minor. But I also believe that those seven churches reveal to us seven stages of church history, beginning at the first century church and up to the church age that we're living in now. And as you read the characteristics of the Laodicean church, the last church in chapter 3, I believe that you see the characteristics of many churches today. Ephesus is the first century church, and Laodicea is the last church stage on earth before the rapture takes place. The Laodicean church is pictured as being materialistic but lukewarm. Revelation 3 verse 16, "So then, because thou art lukewarm," this is Jesus addressing the church at Laodicea, "so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The last day's church before the rapture is a lukewarm, materialistic church. And if you think about the modern church today, particularly in the Western world, there is a selfishness that pervades the modern church. I read an article on the challenge of missions, and the writer said this: "Most churchgoers today are secular in their mindset and lifestyle. They have few convictions. They are reluctant to make long-term commitments. Our present generation has become selfish, sloppy, soft, spoiled, and self-indulgent, unaccustomed to personal sacrifice, unwilling to endure hardship, and unlikely to exhibit loyalty to any mission, devotion to duty, or courage in the face of danger. Less than 1% of total church income is spent on foreign missions. It is a sad commentary on the average congregation that more is spent on carpets, heaters, and parking lots than they allocate for fulfilling the Great Commission." That's a sad indictment. Today we have more Bibles and more Christian resources than any other time in history. Today we have more technical advances available to us than any other time in history. Today the Christian church is the richest it has ever been materially, but I believe we lack the vitality of the 18th and 19th centuries previously. Think of the mission work and the hymn writing in the 17 and 1800s. Tremendous preaching, tremendous mission work, tremendous hymn writing. The saints in those days made a great impact on their societies and on their countries with very little. After the Laodicean church age, we find that the rapture occurs. And I believe that's foretold when John writes down Revelation 4, and he says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." In the very next minute after the rapture occurs the tribulation period on earth. In Revelation 6, we see four horsemen appearing in the tribulation period. The first horseman is a rider on a white horse, appearing at the very beginning of the tribulation. The rider on the white horse, I believe, is a picture of the coming Antichrist. And he comes as a false Messiah. And he comes as a false peacemaker. And as the world goes into more and more trials and more despair and more poverty, and as there are wars and as there are tragedies, as there are pestilences and as there are earthquakes and natural disasters, the world is eventually going to be looking for a great peacemaker, a peacemaker that will come, a peacemaker that will give answers to a troubled world. Revelation 6:2, "And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Jesus spoke about this man to the Jews. In John 5, verse 43, Jesus said, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive." As you read the book of Revelation, you find that the Antichrist also has a false prophet with him. There's going to be a one world government. We are seeing governments around the world, those in governmental positions wanting a one world government. There's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a one world currency. There's going to be a one world religion. Revelation 13, verse 15, the Antichrist has an offsider, and the offsider is one who is called the false prophet. In Revelation 13, verse 15, we read about him, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's 666. Now in Revelation 6, there is another horseman in verse 4. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. The Antichrist starts out as a peacemaker, but in the tribulation he ends up making war. Matthew 24, verse 7, Jesus said this, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." The nations of the world are arming themselves like never before. Did you know that the US defence budget for 2021 is expected to be in excess of $700 billion? In 2021, China is expected to spend 1.35 trillion yen for military expenditure, and that is 209 billion US dollars. On the other scale, there's poor Ireland. And Ireland in 2020 had a defence budget of around £1 billion. Nothing to compare at all to the USA and China. The red horse of Revelation is a picture of bloodshed and war that will happen during the tribulation period. Yet another horse appears in Revelation 6. It's a black horse, and the black horse speaks of famine. Verse 5. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see,' and I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" The black horse follows the red horse, just as famine often follows war. And when food shortages begin, then the price of food begins to soar, and war affects agriculture. Do you know that in 2020, that more than 2.3 billion people lacked year-round access to adequate food? The World Economic Forum states that 931 million tons of food go to waste each year. War and waste are causing people to go hungry today, but there will be far greater hunger in the tribulation period. There is another horse in Revelation following the black horse. It is the pale horse. Revelation 6, verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. and power is given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. We see in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, that at the time of the pale horse, one quarter of the earth's population will die. They will die a result of war and hunger and the beasts of the earth. Death sat on the pale horse, and Hades followed him. Death claims the body, whilst the realm of Hades claims the soul of the unsaved dead. In Luke chapter 16, we have Jesus telling us about the rich man that died, and he went to a place of torment, which was in Hades. Luke 16, verse 23, the Bible says, "And in hell," or translated as Hades, "he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." The rich man went to Hades to await his final judgment. When people die today, they either go to be with the Lord in heaven, if they know the Lord Jesus as Saviour, or they go to the place called Hades. It's described also as hell in the KJV. They go to the place called Hades, and that is a place of waiting until their final judgment. We read about the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, verse 13, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hades follows death for the unsaved now. And this will happen in the tribulation period. Multitudes of people in the tribulation period are going to die from war. They're going to die from famine. They're going to die from pestilences. And multitudes of those people that are not saved, that have not accepted Jesus as their Messiah, are going to go to the place of Hades, where they'll be awaiting their final judgment. Hades follows death for the unsaved. Now, you don't want to be on earth when those four horses in Revelation 6 ride into town. The minute after the rapture, the tribulation begins. Now, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you will be gone in the rapture before these horses gallop throughout the earth. Paul made it very clear to the Thessalonians that they were not waiting for the tribulation period, but for Jesus to come for them. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, Paul says, "You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9, Paul, writing to the believers there, he says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." God is going to pour out his anger. He's going to pour out his wrath in the tribulation period. But God's bride, the church, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be kept from that time of wrath, because they're going to be raptured in the tribulation. You know, if I knew I was going into the tribulation period, I'd be looking down and not looking up. I'm looking for the blessed hope, not the tribulation period. Titus 2 verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. 1 minute after the rapture, the tribulation period. In that minute, the tribulation period will begin. In the minute after the rapture, we will be called up to heaven. Let me give you a couple of things that are going to happen for God's people at the rapture. At the rapture, there's going to be a reunion in heaven. You think of family and friends that knew Jesus that have died and they've gone to glory. And there's going to be a reunion with them. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God is going to bring those people of the past that are believers, those people that have been made right by the Lamb of God. He's going to bring those people that have died with him in the clouds to meet living believers in the air. Verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's going to be a reunion at the rapture. Not only will we meet deceased loved ones, but we'll meet the saints of all ages. We'll meet people also that we've influenced for the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4 verse 1, Paul said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Jesus spoke about eternity. And in Luke chapter 16 verse 9, Jesus said, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. If I was to describe that, give a rough description of that in Aussie, I would say, use your dough to make friends here on earth that will welcome you in heaven. There's going to be a reunion of the saints. There's going to be a reunion of family members that we've loved, that have gone on, who have loved the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a reunion of people that we've influenced for the Lord Jesus. There'll be Sunday school teachers that meet those children that they taught years ago in glory. There'll be youth group leaders that will meet some of the youth in heaven that they've influenced for the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be pastors that will meet people that they've preached to and people that they've brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus through their ministry. There will be missionaries that will meet natives from all different regions around the world that they've influenced for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to use the wealth that we have now to make friends for eternity. So we will have a wonderful welcome into heaven by people that we've influenced for the Lord Jesus. So I say unto you, make yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Not only is there going to be a reunion at the rapture, but 1 minute after the rapture, there's going to be a revelation. In that first minute, there's going to be a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The hymn writer wrote this, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Not only is there going to be a reunion with our loved ones and people that we've influenced for the Lord Jesus, not only is there going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ face to face, but there's going to be a wonderful restoration. 1 minute after the rapture, we'll find ourselves in restored bodies. Christians all around the world will be instantaneously given resurrection bodies, which will make us fit for heaven. The bodies of Christians that have already died will also be raised. Behold, I show you a mystery. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At the rapture, our bodies will be changed for eternity, and we will then be in the likeness of the Lord Jesus. When John wrote, he said in 1 John 3, verse 2, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Won't it be great to kiss goodbye to our aches and pains? Won't it be great to say goodbye to Mr. Arthur Ryders? See you later. Mrs. Bronchitis, see you later. Gone forever. A whole body, a redeemed body, a glorious body when the rapture occurs. 1 minute after the rapture, not only is there going to be a reunion with our loved ones and the revelation of Jesus Christ face to face and the restoration of the body, but there's going to be a great reception. We're going home to be received at the Father's house. The church is the bride of Christ, as you understand the scriptures. Jesus is the heavenly groom. And Jesus is the heavenly groom who has purchased his bride with his blood. He's going to come back to the clouds and he's going to call up his bride to himself, and we're going to be received to the Father's house. We're going home. We're going to be received into heavenly mansions. Jesus is coming in the clouds for his bride, and then he'll take the bride to the Father's house. John 14, verse 3, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." At the rapture, there's not only going to be a reception into the Father's house, but there is a great rescue. We are going to be rescued from a world in turmoil. The world is heading to a terrible time called the tribulation period, as I mentioned, which will last for 7 years. If you read the book of Revelation, the true church is not mentioned on earth at all in the book of Revelation after chapter 3 until she comes back with Christ at his second coming after the tribulation period. The bride returns in Revelation 19:14 with her heavenly groom, the Lord Jesus, at the second coming. Matthew 24:29, Jesus made it very clear that he was coming back to the earth after the tribulation. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Revelation 19, verse 11 says, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." This is Jesus coming back from heaven on a white horse. And verse 14, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." I used to love riding horses. I'm going to ride again. I'm going to ride from heaven's halls on a white horse with the Lord Jesus Christ and all his armies. There is going to be the great rescue. When the rapture happens, it is a rescue of God's people, of people that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. The people God works through at the moment to tell the good news of the gospel is the Church of Jesus Christ. That's our job. We are to be witnesses. We are to be witnesses right up to the time of the rapture. When the rapture happens, the church, born-again believers, are taken to heaven. We, the major witness on earth now, we're taken to heaven, and the major witness becomes the nation of Israel. In that minute, after the rapture, I believe God will bring forth 144,000 male witnesses to witness on earth during the time of the tribulation. In the tribulation, there's going to be the restoration of the Jewish nation. Jeremiah 30, verse 7, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The Bible tells us that there is a future for the Jewish nation. There are some Christians that believe that the church has replaced Israel, and that Israel has no future. But the Bible indicates, both in the Old and the New Testament, that Israel has a future. Romans 11 verse 1, Paul writing to the Romans, he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Romans 11 verse 25, blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. When the fullness of the Gentiles come in, at the moment, the gospel is going out to the Gentile nations. It is largely the Gentiles that are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. When the church is raptured, those that have accepted Christ as Saviour go to heaven. And there are Jews today that are coming to know who Jesus Christ is, and they will be in the rapture as well. But we are now in what is called the times of the Gentiles. That is going to finish. It's going to come to its fullness. And then Israel will take center stage. God has a future for Israel on earth whilst the bride is in heaven. Israel will be a witness in the future. Jesus said, Matthew 24 verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. We are now witnesses until we go to the Father's house. Paul indicated that he was one that planted, Apollos was one that watered, but God gave the increase. Jesus indicated that the harvest was plentiful, but the labourers were few. And he asked us to pray to the Lord of the harvest so he would send out labourers into that harvest. If you are a believer, you should be looking, you should be longing, and you should be loving the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 22 verse 20, the Bible says, even so come, Lord Jesus. If you are not saved, you need to get saved now. The world could very soon be around the corner from the terrible tribulation periods. And there is going to be strong deception. There's going to be those four horses that ride into the world in that time. There's going to be hunger. There's going to be wars. There's going to be murder. There's going to be untold inflation. The time of tribulation is going to be a terrible time on earth. Not only is there the deception, but there is untold destruction that's going to happen in this world. And then Jesus will come at the second coming. If you're unsaved, you need to come to Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This world is going to enter a time of terrible turmoil. The church will be gone. And when I say the church will be gone, it will be people in churches that have trusted the Lord Jesus as Saviour. I believe that churches will continue through the tribulation period with people that have been left behind, that have never trusted Jesus as Saviour. They're not part of the bride. They haven't trusted Christ. And sadly, they're going to go into that time of deception and famine and hunger and war, a time of terrible tragedy because they've missed the rapture of the church. Father, we thank you that every believer has the living hope. We don't have to look down, we're looking up to the coming of the Lord Jesus for his bride. And Father, we pray that each of us might be about the Father's business, warning people of the wrath to come, telling people of the tribulation, telling people that God is going to judge this world. And Father, we pray that we would be about telling the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came and he died on the cross for the sins of all humanity. He shed his blood so that people can be saved, that they can go back to the Father's house, those that have trusted Christ as Saviour. Lord, help us to be about the Father's business. In Jesus' name, amen.